COVID-19 has most of us staying at home, binging on Netflix, and wondering whether or not we're getting the full picture from our leaders and how long this will all last. Joining me today to discuss a range of COVID-19 topics is Dr. Thomas Locke, Imaging Director at Wise Medical Center. This special COVID-19 podcast is brought to you by Wise Medical Center. I'm Scott Webb. Dr. Locke, thanks so much for being on today. We've got a lot to cover. Let's start here. Let's talk about the degree of contagiousness of COVID-19.
That's an important reality that we're slowly becoming more familiar with, I'll say. The initial presentation by the powers that be led us to believe that we were dealing with a virus that wasn't very serious. And then they took the opposite position and tried to scare everybody to death. And in more recent days, they're retreating from that posture, trying to get us back to something more normal. But I think we have enough experience to comment in terms of actual experience now. This is a serious virus in that a very small percentage of people will die. So we can't take it lightly. But the vast majority of people not only will recover, but I think it's fair to say the vast majority of people probably won't even be properly diagnosed. And that's because of issues with testing that is my greatest source of frustration. But fortunately, most healthy people will recover from this virus, so we don't have to be as afraid of it as they made us fear we should be earlier on. But those at risk, you know, are at risk. But I like to use the analogy of the lethality of conditions that we are familiar with, like the flu. It is projected that as many as 50,000 people will die from the flu this year. And that doesn't even make the news, but that's only because we're familiar with influenza. But I use that number because we're still in the three digits with deaths from the coronavirus, and even those few hundred deaths are too many. But nevertheless, there's thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of people who've been diagnosed, and probably an exponentially larger number of people who were not diagnosed, all of whom recovered. And that's a kind of consequence of what I feel is grossly inadequate testing.
Well, that leads right into my next question. You were reading my mind there. Where do we stand on testing? I know there aren't enough tests yet. And do you support efforts by hospitals and regions to do drive-through testing?
Two good questions. Yes, I do support the drive-through concept. I do think it's important to recognize that drive-through testing is not an adequate or complete clinical evaluation. But if that drive-through testing is accompanied by a proper medical evaluation at a different time and place, then I think it's a very good idea for efficiency purposes. Now, where do we stand with testing? We can go back as recently as 2 weeks when reliable sources of information indicated that fewer than 1,500 people had been tested in this country. At that time, the people in South Korea had tested over 150,000 people. Now, shortly after that statistic was released, our vice president indicated that a million tests would have been released to various laboratories around the country, and this would have taken place, I guess, a week or two ago. And I heard in the news yesterday, this is the part I question, but they indicated that as of this week, more people have been tested in this country than anywhere else in the world. Now, I don't know how we went from 1/100th of what everybody else had done to more than anybody else in 2 weeks, but they're claiming that we did that. But I question that statistic because we only have the capacity to do about 10,000 a day. And even if they did all 1 million of the tests that were released, you know, do the math. There's 350 million Americans. If you have 300 friends or 300 members of your church or 300 people in your school or 300 people under your employ, if you're an employer, only one of your people in your organization can be tested, you know. So the amount of available testing is still grossly inadequate. And when the politicians tell everybody to check with your doctor and you can be tested, it's simply not true. We have stifled the efforts of private companies to bring testing to the market. And that's a frustration that I think impairs our efficiency to the detriment of the health of our population.
You know, Dr. Locke, I think we could talk all afternoon about some of this stuff. I have a feeling, okay, so there aren't enough tests, and even if there were, they still have to all be processed. What we really want people to do right now is we want them to be screened, right, before they go for testing, because they may not even need the test. They may just have the flu, right? We can't have everybody just showing up at emergency departments demanding a test because there aren't any or there aren't enough, and you probably don't need it anyway, right?
That's a essentially true but difficult to accept fact. When people are ill and they've listened to all the provoked anxiety and fear in the media, they want to be reassured that their test was negative. And that's human nature. That's what we've come to demand as a society. Our healthcare consumers like to be told your tests were normal. But when you're, you know, the person under the gun at the emergency room, which I used to be. Fortunately, I don't have to be on the front lines anymore. But when you're there and you have limited resources, those people sick enough to be in an ICU on a ventilator have to take priority over those folks who are well enough to recover at home. And in this day and time, I think there's even an element of deliberate underreporting. And under testing, they want to keep the numbers small because, I think overdid it when they started creating the anxiety and the fear. So now they're trying to diminish the anxiety and fear by underreporting the numbers. And the good news is, whether you're properly diagnosed or not, there's a better than 90% chance you will recover. And what we don't know is whether or not all these people with respiratory complaints that were presumed to be coronavirus infections. Well, we don't know for sure if it really was. You know, if all the other tests are negative and nobody did a coronavirus test, which is the case for the most overwhelming majority of people with symptoms, that means that whatever numbers you hear on the TV are probably not reliable. So I ignore them now. but basically, I know from colleagues and friends who are still in the trenches on the front lines that more than a majority of people who present are not being tested, and the only numbers being reported in the media are the numbers from people who are tested. And of course, the sickest ones, you know, you can't hide the ones that die. So the numbers are just distorted, and I think we should spend a little less time focusing on the numbers and the politicians.
Yeah, that's probably sound medical advice and just good people advice, right?
Yes.
Yeah, speaking of people, doctor, let's talk about people. I know you know people, and I know some people.
Yes.
People are hoarding things like toilet paper, bottled water, food, medications. We've talked a little bit about how the panic button maybe got pressed, but how do we unpress that button? How do we get people to understand that they don't need more than they would normally need because they can just go to the store if they need to, right?
This is true. Well, I think it's terrible. I actually witnessed a physical altercation in a Costco store while I was staring at the empty shelves. Two ladies actually got into it over last 10 rolls of toilet paper. And I said, this is ridiculous. But the concept, though, is we are not going to be permanently confined to our homes. We are not going to have to stay locked down forever. I think that the anxiety and fear and the isolation are likely to be more lethal than this virus. You know, the consequences of our overreaction might kill more people than the few hundred people who've died from the virus. So I think we need to be a little more reasonable and get on with our lives. I believe the common sense recommendations are a good idea. Yes, we need to wash our hands. Yes, we need to sanitize surfaces. Yes, we need to keep our distances a little bit from each other. But, canceling all of the public events and sporting activities and overreactions of that magnitude, I think is counterproductive. Psychologically, it'll lead to physiologic consequences. I mean, stress and anxiety actually compromises your immunity. And people are going to get sicker from other things, fretting over this virus that's not that lethal. But therefore, I think the panic button was hit prematurely and or in an exaggerated fashion. But we've learned a lot, and we can benefit from these lessons, but I don't think it's necessary to hoard things that can be produced and go back and get more next week. Unless everyone's trying to restore the losses that everybody experienced in the stock market. They're depleting the shelves in the retail stores now and recouping some of those losses. But there's no other intelligent reason to be doing this stuff.
It seems that you feel like we're not and haven't gotten the full picture. If we haven't gotten the full picture, what is the full picture? We talk about the numbers, the cases, the deaths, how it's transmitted, tests, all of this that's floating around us right now that's got us all up in arms and worried and the anxiety, as you say. What is the full picture in your opinion, Doctor?
I think that the full picture is yet to be determined, but I think the picture is becoming a bit clearer. I do believe that this condition is a lot more contagious than we thought it was at first. I do believe that it's not as fatal as it has been portrayed, except for those at the highest risks. But I also believe that they haven't been as honest and forthright in telling us what is going on. I don't think it's actually just getting here. I think it's probably been around for a while, for example. And I also believe that in time, the experts use the term herd immunity. But I think in time, just like the flu, we'll recognize that people will recover from this. It's not the end of the world. And yes, some people are going to die, but exponentially larger numbers of people die from the flu, die from drug overdoses, die from heart attacks. And, we need to spend at least some time focused on those issues because it's killing more people. So I think what we have to do is not be afraid of each other. We shouldn't be panicking and worrying about, someone bump into you and make some casual contact and you're out in public. That's not going to guarantee your imminent demise. This virus requires actual droplet spread. And, you can keep enough of a distance from people who have not experienced droplet spread. If you touch something and they touch something and you don't go to your face with your hand, you're not going to get it. So we do need to spend more time washing our hands and sanitizing our surfaces, but that doesn't mean we can't go out in public. Those concepts of overreacting and locking people down in their homes, I think that's taking it a little step too far. Other sort of things that we are doing make sense. But I think in time we'll realize that, yes, this is a serious condition. Yes, it's very prevalent. But vast majority of people will recover, and we don't have to fear it as much as they've stated. And, the numbers kind of tell the story, but the numbers are not honest. So I don't want to. I say the numbers tell the story in that the exponentially larger number of people being diagnosed is only a small percentage of the people who are even being tested. So when you look at the percentage of people tested who were positive, who died, it's still a small number. So that means that the actual lethality is exponentially smaller.
So let's wrap things up here. Let's put a bow on this. Final thoughts on COVID-19 and what we can all do to stay physically and mentally well during these strange times.
Well, I think common sense should be the rule. I'd like to see us getting on with our lives. I was talking with a teenager who inspired an idea yesterday. You know, this time of year, we usually look forward to things like baseball games. If they only sold half the seats in a stadium and make people skip a seat, and there's always one seat in between everybody, we could still have a baseball game and still exercise social distancing. Simple things like that. And, you know, not ending the things that make us all human. We have to interact with each other, but we don't want to be so socially isolated that we're not in contact with the folks that really constitute what our lives are all about.
Dr. Locke, so great having you on. I really hope that I get to talk to you again. To reach Dr. Locke at Wise Medical Center for a consultation, call 770-680-2197. We hope you found this podcast to be helpful and informative. I'm Scott Webb. Stay well.